Welcome to Brown Love, the show where we get real about all the things Latinx communities are talking about on your timeline. Brought to you by Netflix and Con Todo. I'm your host, Dasha Polanco. Let's face it, Hollywood hasn't always given us a seat at the table. Things are changing fast, but are they changing fast enough? If we're going to get ours, we need more Latinx creatives as content execs, leading writers' rooms, creating our own production companies, and telling our narratives authentically. For today's episode, I sat down with my homegirl, Diane Guerrero, who I worked with for years on Netflix's Orange is the New Black. And we talked about the future forecast for Latinos in Hollywood and how we can start building towards it. We also talked about mental health, immigration, and I'm not gonna lie, we also talked about some freaky shit. Let's get into it. Thank you for being here, first of all, Diane. I'm so proud of this trajectory.
Thank you, honey.
How far we have become, but for what you're doing, what you're speaking about, your vulnerability, your books, and where you're at, I'm really proud of you.
Thank you, honey. I love you so much. Thank you for having me on this show.
Feel like Cristina.
Did I tell you my mom was on Cristina once?
Stop.
I'll tell you later. It's a whole story.
Oh my God.
Yeah, for sure. My dad was not happy about it.
For those that don't know, Cristina is like the Spanish Oprah.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
She was operatic.
Cristina was the Oprah of Latino or Univision or like exactly. Latino television. Yes. She was a talk show host. Anyway, thank you for having me on, Cristina.
Cristina.
I know. I'm really happy to be here with you, Dasha. This is really exciting. This is like seven years later after we met each other on Orange is the
New Black. It was love at first sight, guys.
It was love at first sight. You were just so energetic and beautiful and giving and all these wonderful things that just shined out of you.
Oh, thank you.
I saw immediately, and thank you for always being my friend.
And you will always be my Polly Pocket.
I will always be your Polly Pocket. She called me Polly Pocket the minute we met, and I was like, oh my God, thank God I have a friend. Yeah, thank you, honey.
Well, how do you identify yourself in the Latinx community? Like, you know, we have all these terms. We have Hispanic, Latinx, we have Afro-Latina. How do I
identify?
Yeah.
As a Latinx woman.
Amazing.
Yeah. I am an inclusive person. I want to carry that out. I'm so glad that I've learned so much about identity and how to basically be who you are fully and also accept people who are being themselves fully. And I think that I'm trying to carry that out too. And the term Latinx is helping to encompass that. Right. And I'm just so glad that I'm alive to be a part of that and allowing a space where we could all be inclusive. So Latinx means that to me, but I also identify as a woman. So I'm putting them together.
Wow.
Yeah.
Addition.
And it's an addition to being all of it.
Colombian.
Yes, my parents are Colombian.
Yes.
I consider myself a Colombian American, an artist, and a
revolutionary.
And a human, yeah, and a revolutionary for sure. Hell yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
For sure.
What are you working on now, Diane?
What am I working on? I'm working on a show called Doom Patrol, which is a DC Comics Universe show. I don't know. That's not how you say it. DC Universe show.
It's your world.
It's my world, baby.
But I know for a fact that's something that we saw, but very sparingly for our community, right?
Yeah.
To see a Latin woman on a DC show.
Well,
a whimsical role, which are roles that I remember once when we spoke about.
Are typically not for us. Yeah, I'm doing a role that you would think that historically we wouldn't get. And to be honest, I don't know. I mean, I know there's some Latinas in the sort of superhero world, but certainly this is exciting. And it's
everyone we add, right, becomes part of and becomes bigger, and it allows the opportunity for the next person and the next one and the next Latino to be able to do these roles and to fit different types of roles.
And surely
right?
7 years ago, I don't know if this role would have been available for me if it hadn't been for the work that we have done and for the work that the people who came before us have done.
Exactly.
Right? And it's been a long road of us trying to figure out where we fit in this world, in this, I guess, in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And I think that what we've come to understand is that we absolutely have a place here. We have beautiful stories to share.
Yes.
All we have to do is tell them. And obviously shows like Orange is the New Black allowed us to be in this space. And now what we do is just we take off running from there. And I think that's what we've seen. I mean, you have done so many projects since then. I'm like always amazed to see you. I just saw you in The Irishman, by the way. I saw you with Robert De Niro. Boo.
Thank you.
I saw you
second
there.
Time.
The second time with Ray. Yeah, no biggie. I love that though. I love seeing us out there.
You know, I grew up in a household where it was novelas that I was like, ooh, novelas, right? And it's our background noise. And we see
La Usurpadora.
Ay, Marimar.
I was in love with Marimar.
Oh my God.
I know, but still, even watching those, we're still like, I still didn't really belong in that world because
exactly.
I saw, right? The whole term, ni de aquí, ni de allá, or de aquí y de allá.
Yeah, yeah, también.
Que somos tan, we're so much more than just one thing. And I feel like we were always searching to see ourselves represented in these kinds of stories. So Marimar and La Usurpadora was cool, but it didn't tell our whole story.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So we definitely have seen a growth in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot more work to be done, obviously,
claro.
When it talks about our future in Hollywood and what we're doing. And I think Netflix has done a great job at showing the diversity and giving the opportunity to such shows. I mean, in comparison to other things that you've done, what was the thing about Orange is the New Black and the things that came after that continue to represent you?
Right. Well, I mean, certainly being a part of Orange is the New Black opened my eyes to so many things, right? There were so many people on that show that were living out their truth and we saw their process
in them
doing so, right?
Yes.
That opened us to a whole new world of saying, wait, we can determine who we are and we have a say in that. And what that show showed us, I think, was that all we had to do was just say yes to ourselves and just kind of proclaim it, right? And say, this is who I want to be. This is my story and there's nothing to be ashamed of. A lot of people can relate to this. I'm not alone here.
And over here, we have my best friend, Maritza. Say hi, Chiquita.
No, go away. I already took my face off from this morning. I gotta put it on.
No, this is a day in the life for the people. Tell them what you're doing. Come on.
Okay, fine. Hi, everybody. Okay, so what I'm doing now is contour and highlight. When I wasn't in prison, I would do this with a MAC Pro palette and a number 19 fan brush. But in here, I use three spices that you can find in any kitchen.
Okay.
Cinnamon, cumin, and sazon goya. Yes, your face will smell like your abuela's pork, but listen, you gotta make sacrifices if you wanna look DIY fly like me.
Do you remember that when we first started our conversations about like, that I would always tell you, girl, you're going to be all right.
Yeah.
You know, you are what Hollywood loves, right? What it has loved. And the beauty of that is that even though you know that, you're very aware of what is missing.
Right.
And that's the difference. When we know the difference of having those opportunities right. to us and where those opportunities are missing, you know?
Well, we want to live our truth.
Right.
Right. And yes, I think once we tell our truth, I mean, I think there's a lot of resistance in Hollywood for the truth at times. I think that once they see it and once they see how it works and how it speaks to people universally, then they're like, oh, okay, this is what it is. But we're constantly sort of fighting that, you know, within ourselves as being truthful with ourselves, being content with who we are, being accepting of who we are.
Yeah.
And because of the images and what we have seen that society has actually thrown at us, we struggle with fully being.
Even accepting failures or like, you know, I know Netflix, we've had shows that have canceled like One Day at a Time. When that canceled, that was a huge ordeal. And you know what I mean? And Netflix got a lot of backlash and the community was like, you know, they cancel. So,
a show that was in essence a Latino show or a Latinx show.
Yes.
Or a show that showed a Latinx family kind of just, you know, having a one day at a time.
Yeah, one day. You're so funny.
They were just taking it one day at a time.
Exactly.
And they were like, no, hurry the hell up. We need to see everything now.
But you know what the beauty of that is? It's I know that the community, I know people, the backlash, I know that there was like, well, come on, the only show you have. The beauty is to be able to have so many shows that those things are going to happen. It becomes a norm.
Absolutely.
Because it happens with other shows.
Right. There's plenty of shows that get canceled, but it's not a big deal because there's so many
of them.
Yeah. So I think that what we need to do is more stories.
Yes.
We need to have more writers. We have to have more people in positions of power that are greenlighting these shows that are going to speak. And also not consider them, I guess, you know, understand that they're telling perhaps Latinx stories or diverse stories, but they're also all of our stories.
Exactly.
Right?
And sometimes, listen, in order for us to progress and evolve, I think it's about realizing that we don't have to be, you know, that excuse where, oh, you fit the quota?
Yeah. We don't have to explain ourselves anymore.
Yes.
Enough with this whole, like, having to, like, explain things to white people.
Like, it has to be on because you don't have enough.
And if we're having to define everything, if we're having to explain every little move that we're doing, then it's not going to be authentic and it's not going to be appealing to anybody. Nobody wants to be told how to understand something, how to like something, right? Art is to be interpreted by anyone in their own way. The work that we have to do now, though, is making sure that there is a place for stories like this, that there is a place for Black and Brown folks, right? And for people of color to tell their stories, because there has been just so many years of not having that. So, yes, we have to have the balance with the executives being diverse, with the writers being diverse, with until we get to a point where we're telling all sorts of stories because we are such...
And just because they're stories.
Because they're just stories.
And not because this is the group of Latin stories.
Or this is the group and there's one Black guy, one Latino,
you know?
And a funny Asian, and there's two white people
and
just to mix it in.
And they probably not even. It's just they look that way, what they think looks like, you know?
Or just like it's okay if like, you know, your group of friends isn't like that mixed.
You know what I mean?
It's like just be honest about the people, the people who are you telling stories about.
A huge thing that I want to discuss
in
this segment about immigration, right? And we're both, right? I'm an immigrant.
Yeah.
You're an advocate for immigration reform policies. Mm-hmm. So am I. We speak about it very openly.
Well, that's the thing, right? Where like we have to understand that the best thing, I think, for our community, I mean, in terms of representation, it's not just representation in the media and Hollywood, but it's representation across the board.
Exactly.
And I think that's why you and I have, it's been so difficult to stay out of politics, to stay out of those important issues because they affect our community.
And they affect us directly. They've affected us all our lives.
Absolutely. And we were on a show that spoke very loudly about the issues that were going on and within our communities as far as the industrial prison complex, right? And those are something that really affects our communities. So we were inspired to also be a part of this larger conversation. And I think that's the way we're going to really uplift our people
Did we know that?
No, we grew to know that.
Yeah, we didn't even know that.
No, we didn't.
And we didn't realize the position that we were going to be placed in.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, I have a voice.
Right.
And I'm as an actor, I also can give back to my community this way.
Yeah, well,
by belonging, by educating.
If you're in this world and you have a platform as you do, you can choose to be silent. But I think that as a person like you or me who deeply cares about our community, who loves our community the way we do, because I see you, I mean, I see us representing out there and there is a deep love for who we are and where we came from.
And empathy that even though if we're not really, you know, directly affected.
No, we're directly affected.
You know what? We are directly affected.
I'm traumatized as hell, honey.
You know what? I have to say, what I mean is like, even though it's not our brother, even though it might be considered a stranger, it affects us. We have empathy towards it. We're sensitive towards it. We're affected every day by it.
Of course. You don't have to be part of it
or be part of the solution. Mm-hmm. And I think that when your story came out, your book, exposing that, right? Because we spoke about that and it's like you live in that fear all your life, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, from Orange and then you write this book. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah. 2016, I released my memoir of It's called In the Country We Love, and it talks about my experience with having my family separated from me through deportation and sort of my life and journey after this very traumatic experience. And I talk about how it affected me, how yes. it affected my family, and how I fit in this world having that happen to me.
It was a great book, guys. Go out and get it.
Really get it. It's in the 99-cent bin. Anyone can
no,
afford it.
No, it's not. No, it's
no,
not.
No, it really is. I saw it.
Did you see it in the 99?
Yeah, I saw it in the 99-cent bin. Okay.
Where the fuck did you see that so I could go and buy them?
I'll buy them all.
Now that I can afford them.
Well, I'll buy them
I'm
now.
I'm going, yeah. No.
I love the cover, by the way.
Thank you, babe.
I love
Thank
it.
You.
And you did
it's me holding cotton candy.
It's this like, is yeah, my truth.
This is my truth.
While you're at the circus.
I'm experiencing all of this. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, that book was really special. I mean, I don't take for granted for a second that being on a show like Orange is the New Black, obviously, meeting people like you, like the freaking women we worked with, you guys inspired me. And having that kind of community certainly allowed me to feel safe in sharing my story.
That's amazing.
And I did. And since then, I have found myself a lot more. I have learned so much about myself and my community and what my purpose is. I'm still finding that. But I know that I don't want to be here if I'm not involved in that way.
We inspire each other, Diane. You know, when we're in this industry, I feel like it's important that Latinx, the community.
We support each other. We
have to
together.
Support and
Absolutely.
Transcend and support other groups as well, because that's Absolutely. How we see change. But most importantly, how we have to be aware that we sometimes don't get to choose the roles that we have to play in, right? Mm-hmm. And we don't get to choose what we say or how we say it, unless we're doing it. Mm-hmm. Again, unless we're creating, unless we're writing, unless mm-hmm. we're producing, mm-hmm. we don't have that power.
Right. Yeah, we have to write our own stories
yes.
And change the whatever narrative has been sort of given to us or that we were born with, right?
Exactly.
We have to change that. I think that often people like in our community or like us, we're used to just accepting sort of what has been given.
Exactly.
And I think that we're here to tell folks.
And live in fear, you know, because of your...
Right, because of your status or whatever. Yes. If you are poor, if you have family members that are in jail, if your dad's not around, if your mom has been deported, we're sort of taught to sort of like let that be because it's sort of what we deserve. And I think that people that if you do have this platform and sort of the kind of work that we're experimenting with now is saying, nah, you don't have to accept that.
You
are much more than your circumstance. You are much more that has been told about you or what you have been given. You can do and give so much more than all of that.
You know, it was interesting because I was not born here. I'm an immigrant, mm-hmm. and I had my green card for so many years, and I became a citizen during like, that was my life. Because the fear instilled in me was like, you better not get into any trouble because they will take your green card. You're going right back.
For sure.
And so for me, I became a citizen during Orange is the New Black. Mm-hmm. And it was such an emotional, like, oh my God, I'm a citizen of the United States. Like, I've been in this country. And, you know, it was such like a freeing moment for me that, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Yeah, you're not threatened anymore.
That's it. Okay. So now that you've made it, girl.
Made it.
And we're rich. We look fabulous.
We're so rich now. Bitch.
Oh my God.
We're so rich.
We were just talking about how we looked before. Who is that poor?
Now that we're wearing suits.
Yeah, we're wearing suits.
My suits are Armani, babe.
Oh, really?
I have to give it back later, but yes.
Oh, wow. Well, you're richer than me, Diane. I'm going to have to go write a damn book. Mattress.
You don't get any money from books, I promise you. No.
Okay, well, I'm not going to write a book.
Don't write a book.
So now that we've made it, write a book. My book is going to be a picture book.
A pop-up
picture book.
And why not?
It's just going to be my butt popping up, twerking.
¿Y por qué
and
no?
My immigration status. Like, yeah.
Exactly. Like, with your green card, like right on your ass. Well, no, with your like citizenship right on your butt. Just like.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, sure.
What is your advice for our community, for Latinx actors, for those that know that they're privileged, that know that, hey, I have to work harder at this, that mm-hmm. have or stand for something or feel like, what is your advice to them?
I think, listen, don't be hard on yourself if you care this much. you know? And honestly, it is just a natural thing. I think that our history informs us so much. Mm-hmm. Our history tells us that we have some work to do. Mm-hmm. And if you assume that responsibility, carry it full through without any fear. Know that you are here and that you are beautiful and you are enough and that there are people around you to support you, right?
That's right. And we're here.
And we're here. And we're here.
We're here and we're holding the door open.
We're holding the door open. I hope people are holding their open, you know,
for the next, for the next, chain. Next, the next. We have to build that web.
Yeah.
What is the advice for Hollywood though? I'm going to drink water with you.
Me
with
too,
that.
Honey.
Because, you know, we could be a little shady and petty.
So shady. Where's my palm tree? What is the advice for Hollywood? I just say, look, nothing about us without us.
Oof.
You know what I mean?
Can I hear that again?
Nothing about us without us.
Come one more time.
Nothing about us without us. I think that there's so much beauty to share. And if you are trying to target an audience, if you do are truly about inclusivity, if you're really about diversity, I think it has to be, you know, across the board in order for it to be effective and achieve the change that you want to see, right?
Exactly.
We're doing these works so that it could affect the outside. It's not just about making money. It's not just about entertaining folks. It's about actually making change where it matters, right?
Yes.
So that people are not being shot by cops, so that families are not being separated, so that there is justice in our system, so that there are food for children, so that people are understanding of each other, so that, you know, relationships can work.
Yeah.
You know, we're exploring all of these things, but if we're really about that, then you got to be about it across the board.
Exactly. You know, I wanted to speak about mental health and how we stay mentally healthy and how we speak about it. How do you? How do you feel about it? What is the responsibility of us as actors in Hollywood to have this discussion about mental health?
I think that anybody in any field has a responsibility to talk about mental health and not to talk about it, but consider it, right? To consider that your employers or that your family members or anywhere around you, that people are going through stuff and that there needs to be a general consensus that your mental health is important, that we all need to take care of ourselves and also be aware that we need to be sensitive to others who may be going through those type of challenges and creating environments that make it okay to have those kinds of discussions.
Exactly. And it's not taboo. Like in our communities, our Latin communities, always taboo. La loca. They never.
Or like, you know, we're going through so much already. Like, what do you mean you're mentally ill? Like that doesn't exist for us. Like that luxury doesn't apply to you. What are you sad about?
Por favor, niña.
No me ve a mí aquí limpiando este piso y usted hablando inglés y
con su dinero en su salón y yo aquí pasando trabajo.
¿Qué mental health vas a tener tú?
You have to be happy.
No, and that is so wrong because our success, and I don't mean just monetary success, I don't mean, you know, professional success, but our success as human beings depends so much on our mental health.
And our growth as a community
depends on that mental health. Because so many of us aren't realizing that our mental health, our health is being affected as a kid, not only, you know, through the trauma that our parents are passing down and from their parents and their parents and their parents, right, from generations, but we have to understand that this is affecting us at a very early age. So if we are having honest conversations about that, if we're continuing to protect ourselves in that way, then the better it would be in the long run.
And knowing that it's okay to feel mentally
ill
at one point in your life. You
Absolutely.
Know what I mean?
I talk a lot about that in my book.
Yeah, which is why I think you and I have a connection, because I think from the moment that we've met, we've always been very honest with our vulnerability, whether it's mental illness, whether it's experience, whether it's our family, our responsibilities. People don't really know our responsibilities. Like we have families in the exterior, right? That we take care of, that we're like kind of like
uplift. We're like
the providers.
Right. We're the providers in a family. And that's a lot of pressure.
Yes. And I think that for me, I did not know I suffered from depression until I finally realized and accepted it that I was.
Oh, yeah.
And I spoke about it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And I was like, oh, this is what it is. Mm-hmm. I need to go speak to somebody. I don't have to be strong. Right.
Well, that's the pressure that we put in our community. We're resilient. We're strong. We can take anything. It's like, yes, we are all of those things, but we're also,
we have moments.
We have moments, and we also are human beings, and we need to take care of ourselves, and we are worthy of care.
Self-care, self-love.
Self-care and care of
and
others.
Words. Yes. And knowing, like, you know, my brother recently got diagnosed with schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was like, holy crap. It was like, I was very frustrated with it. It was like, why am I so frustrated? And it's because it's not me not accepting.
We don't see those stories.
We don't see those
yes. stories of people in our community struggling through these things.
I didn't understand.
Things. Yeah.
I didn't understand.
Not every story yes. is like, estamos saltando, you know, the border or whatever.
Yes.
Not every story is like, you know, we have to be okay with sharing our lives, you know, as a whole and
yes,
mental
and in
health.
Hollywood it's artists, you know, in Hollywood we hear it, and people are like, they don't understand as an actor, how, why are you depressed? And it's, or why are you sad? Or why, you know,
we're depressed because everyone is depressed.
Exactly. It happens across the board. It doesn't matter what industry you're in, but most yeah. importantly, it's knowing where to get help, knowing that if you notice something, it's okay to ask a question.
We do need to speak about it. Do you know that the highest rate of suicide right now are for Latina women?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's some shit.
Yeah.
And that is attributed certainly to, you know, a lot of the services that are provided in our communities, but also because we don't talk about mental health openly.
Yeah. And it's
so we're here knowing that we're going through all this stuff, but there's no one to talk to. There's not an open dialogue about it.
I love how Netflix on 13 Reasons Why, stuff like that, they incorporated like the hotline, and a lot of shows are doing that. We're outside of the entertainment.
We did that.
Yeah. We did it with the deportation. We did it so many times with the detention center. Like shows after shows, the entertainment is transcending where we're also providing information. We're just not entertaining, entertaining and
yeah.
capitalizing on the subject.
Yeah.
We're also educating and making the audiences aware. If you connect with this story, yeah. this is
where you can go for help.
Exactly.
Certainly. Certainly.
So I think it's a beautiful thing that they're doing that.
Brown love.
I want to talk to you about something else.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about some brown love. Brown love. And it's just about love, life, and your relationship status, and things like that. Uh-huh. And interesting questions about your experience and your love life.
Oh, is this the portion of the time where things get steamy?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to get comfortable.
So I want you, listen, it's all up to you how steamy you can get.
Brown love is special. It is giving. It is generous.
How special is it?
It's generous. It's the love that I have to give is so full and so generous. And I want to continue living that and expressing my brown love all over the place.
Sprinkle it all over, baby.
Just. Sprinkling, you know.
Sprinkle it. Experience it. Share it. Intertwine it.
Flip it.
Flip it. Reverse it.
Yes.
Well, you do a good job at it.
Thank you, babe.
I'm in love with you.
I'm in love with you.
The love you share.
Likewise.
Always.
Thank you. Okay. Go on.
What's your relationship status?
Oh my.
You don't have to answer.
No, I am in a loving relationship.
That's a beautiful thing.
I'm in a loving relationship, and I'm starting that, or to be more accepting of the relationship that I have with myself as well, and to love myself. Because I love people. You know me. I love people.
Yes.
But it always has been a struggle to really fully love myself. And so that's something I'm sure we all work through. But yeah, I'm working on that.
So I'm going to ask you a couple things. Mm-hmm. Like, what's your favorite pickup line?
Oh my God, pickup line? Wow, I think you're really smart or something like that.
Oh.
Yeah, I like for someone to like notice my brain.
What about cringeworthy?
I don't know. Anybody who has anything to say about any body parts of mine. Also, don't call me short or anything like that. Don't talk about my height.
Why are you subconscious about your height?
Look.
Because I've spoken about your height.
No, no, but that's so different. The Polly Pocket thing, that's fine. That's you. That's fine. It's about like, I think it's just like people trying to like pick you up in a way that is also insulting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. Don't talk about me. Am I self-conscious about it? No, I don't want to be self-conscious about it. So that's why it would help if you don't talk about it.
Exactly. So stop talking about it. Stop trying to like get in my pants by talking about my height.
Exactly.
Because you don't want me to ask your size.
Exactly.
Have you ever tried online dating?
No,
while
I haven't.
Famous?
No, I have never done
ever.
It. Okay. No, you know me, girl. A fly drops, another one comes in.
Wow.
It's crazy.
They're lines up.
It's been good years for me.
Girl,
can't
the
get
line.
Them away. Can't get
That's
them away.
That's what I always ask. You know what's funny? That I get those questions about, what's an advice for dating for a plus size woman? And I'm like, girl, your size don't matter. I've never... Yeah. It's not about the size. It's about how you feel, what you exude.
Absolutely.
Right? Forget about like, there's always going to be somebody interested in someone.
Yeah.
And it's up to you to make sure that you just ready to receive it.
Exactly.
Sometimes we just resist too much.
Yeah. You know, I've been very open to different possibilities. As you see, people like us, I mean, where we started and to see us now, I'm like, we were definitely open to possibility.
Exactly.
And I think that that has translated over to my love life. I think I've always been accepting of whatever came my way. If it was loving, if it was
quirky,
cool, nerdy, yes. You know, fluffy, yummy, whatever it was, you know, I was like, oh, what is this?
And it's experiencing
I'm always
it.
Down to experience an adventure. And I think I've always been open that way. And I've found love in many different places.
Does your love cost a thing?
No, my love don't cost a thing.
Wow.
Thank you, J-Lo. Did you remember in the video?
No.
She's like, my love don't cost a thing. Thing. Remember that?
Remember
oh, wow.
That.
Okay. Somebody didn't see making of the video.
Do you have any fetishized stories?
Oh,
do you have any fetishes?
Oh, I have fetishes? I don't know if I have any fetishes. I think they're pretty standard, but I did have a, can I talk about like some weird shit?
Yeah.
Well, there was a man in my life who liked cutting while during intercourse. That's weird. What?
For real? Like what? Like what? Like he would like just like feel pain?
He just wanted the danger.
So he would
glue a little razor on my nail.
You're lying.
And we would but the point was not to scratch. Right? It was not
Also, it never happened.
We weren't supposed to scratch, but it was the possibility was there. Isn't that hot? Pretty hot. Yeah, it was like a danger thing.
Oh, so it's like, oh, like we're going to
the extreme. One quick slice of the finger, and I could possibly bleed out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There's people that have fetishes for feet. We could do that.
Okay. Sorry. I like feet. I like feet.
It's okay. We're fine. This is an open forum. It's fine.
Is it an open space?
Yeah, it's a safe space.
How do I talk about like the community and being ourselves and then like stick a little razor on your nail and see how close you
and
can
I'm
get to someone's balls?
You.
Yeah. How
We're
close
sword fight.
How close can you get to someone's taint?
Okay.
Those were fucking times, let me tell you.
Let me tell you.
I had a fucking blast.
I've had some moments, honey. I've had some moments too.
Thicky, thicky, thicky,
you know,
thicky,
I like
thicky,
that,
thicky.
That we were able to experience and have these stories because that's why we create things.
Dude.
It's time to play a little game.
Now I'm going to uplift you.
Okay. Wow, it's a roller coaster.
Game. Okay, so for last, I want to play a little game with you, and this is called Accent Check. In this game, we're going to play you a clip from different Spanish language Netflix shows or movies. And then you'll have 15 seconds to guess what country it's from based on the accent.
Okay.
Oh, this is fun for us.
Okay, ¿dónde va a estar?
Escuchado.
Okay, qué pena.
Tú tienes que usar el acento.
Bueno.
Roll it, please.
Tengo que hacerte unas preguntas.
De aquí saldrán los líderes del mañana.
¿Sois los nuevos? Pues suerte. La vais a necesitar.
Paraíso, chaval.
Hola, me llamo Samuel.
¿Qué ha dicho el camarero?
The first one is Spanish. A Spanish accent from España. That was
España.
Perhaps Penelope Cruz.
España.
No sé. Una
España, castellano, una, La Casa de Papel.
Sí, gracias. Claro, tía.
Actually, it's Elite. It's a Spanish drama thriller.
Oh, claro, I know.
Next.
Oye, está tomando y se mete con el toro.
¡Wow! ¡Robbie!
Si lo matan, es un problema.
Tengo muchas broncas en mi vida que van a salir.
Ese es el castillo de mi abuelito.
Llevo muchos años modelando, pero es muy contradictorio a lo que yo soy aquí adentro.
Es México, güey.
Yup, it's made in Mexico.
Okay.
Okay, it's a reality TV show that follows the lives of 9 young socialites and expats living in Mexico City. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of stuff I gotta catch up on, girl.
There's a lot of content out there.
Next, please.
Hay un momento en la vida de toda mujer en el que se da cuenta que ha sido engañada por los cuentos de hadas. Ese momento ocurre cuando el príncipe azul se convierte en sapo.
Bueno, te tengo una primicia, Matías. El tamaño ideal no es ese que tú tienes, ¿ya? El tamaño ideal es otro. ¡Y es grande, imbécil!
Uy, ahí ya se pone más difícil, ¿no?
Sí.
¿Chile?
Nope. I'm gonna give you a hint.
Give me a hint.
Señorita Laura.
Pues Perú.
¡Ah!
Claro, 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 claro.
So that's how to get over a breakup.
Un carrito sandwichero.
Desgraciado. Eres un desgraciado. How to get over a breakup. But AKA Soltera Codiciada. Soltera Codiciada is a Peruvian comedy about a copywriter who is suddenly dumped and starts a blog about getting over it.
And this is on Netflix.
All this stuff is on Netflix.
I must watch.
The next one, please.
Mario Bore. Prosa. Bienvenido.
Fin del viaje.
¿Qué me vas a tirar acá en el patio?
No tengo lugar en los pabellones.
Marito, parece una villa esto.
Es una villa.
Argentino, boludo.
Ah, argentino. I thought it was Count Dracula. No, el marginal.
No,
eso es el marginal.
El marginal.
It's an Argentinian show about an ex-cop who is sent undercover into prison to infiltrate a criminal gang of prisoners and guards in order to solve a high-profile kidnapping.
Wow.
Yeah. Good stuff. Y el próximo, por favor.
Te voy a bajar las apps de una vez para que tengas Instapic, Facebook y todo el cuento. ¿Qué son apps? Pero tú vienes del monte.
Ahora estaba por mi propia cuenta cientos de años lejos de mi tiempo.
¿Tú qué haces aquí?
¿Qué problema con ustedes los turistas que se creen los dueños de todo?
No tengo el oro para pagarle.
¿Oro? ¿Y está de dónde salió?
Oh, ok, bueno. Se suena como costeño, pero de Colombia, ¿no?
Claro, mi amor.
Sí, sí, sí. Costeñitas, ay. No, mentira. Sí.
Eso es Siempre Bruja.
Siempre Bruja. Eso es lo que yo pensaba. I thought it was Siempre
sí,
Bruja.
Sí, Siempre Bruja centers around a 17th century witch who time travels to present day, I can't wait to see this, present day Cartagena, Colombia, on the eve of her execution to save the man she loves and defeat a dark rival.
Wow, I'm really, really good at this.
Próximo, por favor.
¿Cómo va a ser cuando esa gente de esa generación llegue a ser adulto, estén con su hijo en el auto, escuchando la radio, no sé, camino a ver a la familia, y suene como, dale, 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 dale? Pensar que con esta canción conoce a tu madre.
Ok, necesito tu ayuda. ¿Es centroamericano?
No, suramericano.
¿No juegas?
Sí. Te doy un hint.
Un hint.
Sábado Gigante.
¿De Chile?
¡Claro!
¿Cómo así?
Ah, okay. ¿Cómo que le dicen el aguacate a los chilenos? ¿Cómo que
ni
le
idea,
dicen?
Ni idea.
Falta, algo así que le dicen.
No
I
sé.
I love avocado, so I know it in every language.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it comes from the word aguacatil.
Parece,
from Mexico,
parece blanquita.
Ay, pues claro. Yo hago todos los acentos. This clip is from the Chilean comedian Fabricio Copano's Netflix special, Solo Pienso en Mí.
Solo Pienso en Mí.
And the last one.
¿Qué encontraste?
Este sobre limpio con metanfetamina en un lugar bastante sucio.
Arriba, Manolo, que quiero terminar esto rápido.
Bueno, en el baño encontraron un preservativo usado. Y aquí había restos de marihuana en el cenicero.
Empezamos bien. Sexo, droga, violencia. La cama olía a ron.
Cuba. Cubano.
Yo ayudé. Yes, it's Cuba. Four Seasons in Havana, a.k.a. Cuatro Estaciones en La Habana. This is a clip from a Cuban show that follows a detective and his partner as they solve crimes in Cuba's capital.
Oh, I think I saw a little bit of this. I'm excited to watch. Yeah, I'm excited to watch. Oh, I didn't see it, but I saw a clip for it. Yeah. I'm excited to watch it.
And with that, that concludes our
episode. This was great.
Yes, it was. And I want to end it by doing a brindis and by saying an affirmation, what you hope for the next decade for our Latin community.
Okay. I wish for clarity for my community.
Cheers to that clarity for our Latin community.
Yes.
Cheers.
Cheers, honey.
Thank you. And the party has started.
And the party's begun. Okay, dancing. Prende.
This show was produced by Netflix and Con Todo in partnership with Futuro Studios. This is the last episode for now, but we'll be back with more Con Todo content on this feed soon. If you like what you heard, be sure to rate and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget to follow at Con Todo Netflix on Instagram and Twitter for all things Latin excellence on Netflix. I've been your host, Dasha Polanco. Hasta la próxima, mi gente.
Brown love. Hey, brown love. Hey, you. You want some brown love? You want some of this brown love?